Well, Donald came about 4 or 5 years after Mickey Mouse, and I heard the voice on the radio. It was almost an amateur program, and this boy was imitating animals and things and birds, and he had this little gag that he ended his act with about the little duck. He had it a girl duck. Reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb. And it was that odd voice, and I immediately got in touch with the radio station. They didn't even know who he was. He'd gone. I traced him down and found he was working for a dairy. And he was doing little lectures to the schools on bird life, wearing the uniform of this dairy, advertising the milk. It was an indirect way of getting their advertising. And he'd move to his classrooms and tell them about the birds and how the metal arc had sound and all of that. So he wasn't making much money, and I said, well, I can pay you a little more than they're paying if you want to come over here, and we'll find out what we can do with that voice. So he was here on the payroll for about a year before the thing that kept throwing me all the time was a girl duck. And funny, I said, well, it don't have to be a girl, it can be a boy duck, you know? Mm. So we ended up with Donald.
This is Mickey's Pal. For those of you who don't know yet, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, voices of Hollywood died on February 21st. He was Clarence Ducky Nash, the voice of the ever-arrogant and ill-tempered Donald Duck. I think it is a sad day for Disney Studios, and indeed for the world, because with the passing of Clarence Nash, we not only lose his gifted talent and incredible humor, but I think a little of that ever-present Disney magic will go with him. Clarence got the part of Donald when Walt Disney heard him on a radio show. Disney immediately hired him to speak for Nameless Duck in his up-and-coming version of The Wise Little Hen. That duck soon became Donald, and Clarence began a relationship with our frustrated feathered friend that spanned 50 years. But it's important to remember that Donald is not gone, not by a long shot. And if you think about it, neither is Clarence. Not really. You see, I believe that the magical films that Walt Disney has made will always remain immortal. And as long as that's true, so will Clarence Nash. So next time you hear Donald screaming at his three obnoxious nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, or when he's losing his temper and quacking at the top of his lungs over some prank Chip and Dale have just played on him, or even when he's making a clumsy attempt at being romantic with his one and only true love, Daisy Duck, just remember the man who really gave him life, who really made us laugh at the duck, who gave Donald his ever-boiling temper and ridiculous charm. And don't be sad, but be thankful that he was here, that he was able to give us 50 years of uncontrollable laughter. Here's to you, Clarence Nash. Wherever you are, may God watch over you and bless you. And I thank you for the time you were with us, for the bright moments of happiness you gave us all, for you will surely be missed. This has been a comment from Mickey's Pal.
Hello, this is Dale from La Cunada, and the film I choose to review this week is Mask. My review will start out with a basic don't bother. If you're into makeup effects, go ahead. The makeup on the deformed boy is incredible. But other than that, this film is contrived and boring. Cher is all sorts of no fun to watch. She was never very beautiful or attractive anyway. I don't know why they keep playing her up so much in every film she's in. It's been compared to Terms of Endearment, and it's nowhere in that caliber. It's just a dull film. With that, I suppose, I'll crawl back under my rock. Until next time, Dale from La Cunada.
You know, for 12 years I've been listening to you guys. First you told me that he was retarded.
For academic achievement, Rocky Dennis.
Then you told me he'd never be able to do anything that regular kids could do.
I want to go to every place I've ever read about.
You know, if I had dug his grave every time one of you geniuses told me he was going to die, I'd be in China by now.
But I am different, Mom.
Based on a true story, Mask. Sometimes the most unlikely people become heroes. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome back to Paul Mack Presents The Movie Line for another week of film listed fun right here on 761-3330 for the week of March 24th through the 28th, 1985. Or if you're dialing 906-3000, this tape will be playing through March 31st, 1985. Once again, I want to thank you all for calling, and just a reminder, if you'd like to leave your film reviews, you can call 761-0333. And leave your film reviews, tell your friends, go see a movie, and call that number, 761-0333, and hear your reviews played back each and every Sunday through Thursday on 761-3330, or every week at 906-3000. In case you're a new caller, I'm going to let you know a little bit about The Movie Line and how it operates. Sunday through Thursdays, you can catch our tapes right here at 761-3330, or if you'd like to hear them at 906-3000, if you happen to be out in the West Valley, you can call that, and we change your tapes every single Sunday. Now, as far as Fridays and Saturdays over here at 3330, we play The Continuing Adventures of the Gopher Twins, which is kind of like a continuing, ongoing soap opera sitcom starring rodents and bugs, fleas, gay rabbits, and anything else you can think of. And it's quite interesting. It's a lot of fun. It's adult humor as well as child thought out stuff, and you're really going to appreciate that. And well, just give it a call, but I ask you to give it at least 3 weeks to decide whether or not the Gopher Twins is for you. I know they're for me, but well, that's besides the point. Anyhow, we've got a lot of comments and things coming up this week, and we're going to get on with that. We've got a lot of things. This is going to be a 26-minute tape. And well, you just heard a review and a radio spot on Mask. And I saw Mask, and I was, well, it was very interesting because it left you with a very down, depressed type of feeling. And if you've been real happy lately and have just been loving life, go see Mask because, hey, it'll change your mind real quick. Mask is playing at the Cinerama Dome, and the number for information is area code 213-466-3401. Or in Sherman Oaks, you can see it at the Sherman Oaks Cinema at area code 818-986-9660. And from the Movie Line scale, we're going to give it a D for depressing. That's right, the Movie Line scale from A to Z. You'll be hearing a lot of that over here. So thanks for calling, and pull up a chair and put your phone to your favorite ear. And we're going to get in with this week's Movie Line tape, already in progress, as you might already know. Here it is.
Answer me, motherfucker! Answer me, motherfucker! Answer me!
Good afternoon, or morning, or evening, whatever time it may be. And Paul, it's glad the Movie Line back on after a week full of for your consideration. Already awarded, I sent my ballot, and I even got an extra one, and I decided I'd keep that as a souvenir since it wouldn't be fair to fit me in two ballots, you know what I mean. Anyway, greetings. This is Mike West Hollywood calling with a film review of a couple of films that I've seen recently. First off is the controversial Peter Bogdanovich's Mask, starring Cher as the mother of Rusty Dennis and as Rocky Dennis, Eric Stoltz, who was almost last seen at the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Some of you may be aware that right now Peter Bogdanovich, who directed the film, is in the middle of a conflict with Universal Studios due to a missing portion of the film and the fact that some of the background music, which he included as Bruce Springsteen, some Bruce Springsteen cuts, has been replaced with some songs by Bob Seger. However, despite the missing music and the missing 8 or so minutes of film, Bogdanovich's Mask is excellently well done, well acted. Cher, one of her most convincing portrayals of a character of any of her movies. She's come far since her days as Sonny Bono's sidekick on the Sonny and Cher show, but some of you out there who may remember that program. Eric Stoltz, as the young boy Rocky Dennis, the severely disfigured face due to a calcium deposit disease. Excellent, excellent portrayal. Very, very well acted, and very good parts. The only thing is the bikers that Cher hangs around with are really more like the Keystone Cops than the group of Hell's Angels riders. But you can pretty much get an idea of what Rocky's relationship with his mother and his friends were throughout the film. It's an excellent film. Can't say enough good things about it. Encourage everyone to see it. And it's one of those films that's not too short and not too long. So it's just about right. You feel like you've seen a good movie. You've seen everything you need to see in the story. Also, Laura Dern's portrayal of Rocky's girlfriend, a blind girl he meets at a camp, is very, very excellent. And those of you who might be interested in further things on the film, after if you see it, there's an article on the film and also on Cher's portrayal in this week's edition of People magazine, along with pictures of the real people involved. The other film I wanted to tell you about is Rob Reiner's Sure Thing, and that's an excellent film. I don't remember the name of the two actors. They're newcomers, unknown, so it's I wish I can remember right now. But anyway, the story of a young man who goes off to a small northeastern college and who had rather incredible sexual prowess during high school, but is having problems in college and comes upon a young girl who really doesn't want to give him a time of day, and it concerns a trip that he partakes on to L.A. to be set up with a Sure Thing by his buddy who's attending UCLA now. Meantime, it turns out that his rideshare is with this girl that he's been trying to make an impression on, and what happens is after they offend the two people that are giving them the ride, they're left out in the cold in the middle of nowhere to hitchhike their way back to L.A. And anyway, it's a good film. I don't want to say too much more about it, because I'm sure you'd like to see it. Rob Reiner's an excellent director. It's of course, in the genre of the Fast Times, Ridgemont High, Porky's type film, but it takes a level above that, just as Tough Turf was, and this is sort of an opposite of Tough Turf situation in a way. A little bit of a difference, but some of the plot line is a little similar. However, it is enough TNA and enough stupid jokes for high school kids, but the older crowd can appreciate this just as much. Anyway, this is Mike in West Hollywood leaving a comment. Good luck to Paul Mack and all the other people involved in the Artie Awards. I think it's an excellent idea, and I hope the people...
Well, at that point, Mike gets call-waited, and Paul Mack just decides to stop playing his comment. Well, it was really exciting. Mike goes on to tell us all about how his new car had a postery that matched his eyes. You know, that was fine, Mike. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to thank you for your very intelligent film review. However, I'd just like to point out for the future purposes of boredom that I would like you all to keep your film reviews a little shorter. For instance, Mike, that was a little bit on the long side. However, I didn't cut it because it was basically intelligent. So from now on, Mike, if you're going to take that much time with a film review, leave only one review per week. I would appreciate it. Keep them around 2 minutes, or, well, you know, don't drag them on like I'm dragging this on, because it basically, like this, it gets boring.
Well, hello there. This is Dave Culver City, and, well, what can I say, but, you know, another murder movie has come out, apparently, and apparently there has not been enough protest going on with the release of Massacre Mansion, which, with the title, although I don't go see garbage like that because I find it to be very sick, I wish that there'd be more positive movies coming out with a more positive feel. Garbage like Massacre Mansion and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween and a whole bunch more murder movies, more than I can count on my 10 piano playing fingers. They're getting sickening. I think the movie industry, when it comes to movies like that, is getting to be very sick. I mean, and 9 times out of 10, the murderer isn't caught, and it's a bad influence, it's a satanic influence, and me being a Christian, I will do my part at fighting all this garbage. And so that's all I'm going to say. I have got to run. So long for now.
Well, apparently, Dave, there has been enough protest, because Massacre Mansion is now playing nowhere at theaters nowhere. That's right. So if you'll check your local listings, you'll find it absolutely null and void. However, well, that's probably a good sign that the film was bad.
We're talking about The Breakfast Club. Most people I know saw it. They loved it. I think it's the greatest thing they've ever seen. I liked it. There were I thought all the acting was good. There was some great characterization. But really, it's not very believable. I mean, maybe if those kids were locked in that room for a week, they would have gone through what they went through. But kids don't open up that much in the space of just a few hours. I don't care how much pot they smoke.
And smoke. Smoke, 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 smoke.
Still, a lot of good performances, a lot of good lines, good stuff. I liked it. I guess I should have... If I had more drugs myself, I might have enjoyed it more, because then I could have bought the whole idea. I mean, especially the girl who was so freaked out, schizoid. She's just not gonna open up that much that quickly. It doesn't happen.
Let those fucking babes hit that shit, man. A girl will freak you forever and a day behind that shit, man. Let me tell you, the shit is great.
Not 5 kids in the same room. I'm sorry. Still, on the Zachariah Love scale, I give it a 7.5. Worth seeing. Go see it. Thumbs up, or whatever. See you later.
It's Saturday morning, and inside Shermer High School, 5 total strangers are about to meet for the first time.
You have exactly 8 hours and 54 minutes to ponder the error of your ways.
Questions?
Yeah. Does Barry Manilow know that you raided his wardrobe?
Before this day is over, they'll break the rules.
What was that ruckus?
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Bare their souls.
Excuse me for being a virgin, I'm sorry.
I think it's okay for a guy to be a virgin.
Take some chances.
Being bad feels pretty good.
And touch each other in a way they never dreamed possible.
I don't want to be alone anymore.
You don't have to.
Universal Pictures presents The Breakfast Club.
Demented and sad, but social.
Starring Emilio Estevez, Paul Gleason, Anthony Michael Hall, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ally Sheedy. In a new film written and directed by John Hughes. The Breakfast Club. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Let me tell you, this shit is great.
Well, hello there. This is Peter from Beverly Hills. The all-time greatest film of 84, we all know, Terminator. And now for an inside scoop. Terminator will be available on video soon. Couple of weeks.
Hello, hello, Mr. Mack and the rest of you movie film goers. I do not have a film review on a movie. However, there is a new entertainment line in the Los Angeles area. It's called Supersound. Telephone number is 213-399-0996. Very much like the same format of your Zygote Dalla joke mainline, or ZZZZZZ type many different recordings to choose from every time you call. For the ones who like variety, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work on your line.
For years, telephone entertainment lines have sounded the same way. Until now. Paul Mech Productions brings you Max Sound, a new high in telephone output fidelity for the discerning phone enthusiast. Max Sound can only be heard on 761-3330. And now, Paul Mech presents The Movie Line, brought to you by and for the moviegoers of Southern California. And when in the West Valley, dial 906-3000. Thank you.
And now, today's recording already in progress.
Yes, I just saw The Last Dragon last night. And it was a pretty good movie all in all, but I think the plot was kind of stupid. But the actor, the main actor, he was pretty good. But Vanity, I thought she was kind of like a slut in the movie. But all in all, it was a good movie, and I recommend you guys to go see it.
Welcome to Believer's Choice, a Christian perspective on the movies. I'm David Kyle. Big things are happening at Disney Studios. There are now several new studio executives who have taken over the helm, and my people inside the studio tell me that there are some major changes taking place. Bad girl Bette Midler will soon be starring in a new Disney flick. It won't be easy to maintain the G-rated image with divas like Bette on the marquee. There is growing fear among employees that within 5 years the new owners will sell all that valuable studio property in Burbank and dissolve the studio. Already the decision has been made to release the classic Disney saga films into the home video market, a move which will bring in the quick buck, but which will destroy their re-release value. That has been an important source of revenue which has kept the studio in the black during the slow years. After reaping a $12 million profit from the Christmas re-release of Pinocchio, Disney Studios will make that movie the first sacrifice to the home video market. Other plans are in store for the recently re-released Fantasia. The soundtrack, first recorded under the direction of Leopold Stokowski, has been re-recorded under the direction of Erwin Kostal. It is a major improvement for the film, which I recently saw again. For those of you who have never seen Fantasia, it is a piece of cinematic history, a film that uses color and sound to interpret a series of classical masterpieces. Disney chose only the best pieces of music to display the animator's talent. The first segment shows fairies and fireflies dancing through a night garden to the tune of Bach's Toccata Fugue in D minor. The most beautiful and imaginative segment follows with Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, animated by a series of dancing mushrooms, flowers, fairies, and fall leaves. This segment alone is worth the cost of the film. My sources at Disney Studios tell me that plans are afoot to gradually reanimate sections of Fantasia in order to modernize the picture. Eventually, it will be a totally new film. Terrific idea. I wish I were in charge of that project. I'm David Kyle. Write to me at Believer's Choice, Post Office Box 2501, Garden Grove, California, 92642.
Well, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. This is Zaphod Beeblebrox, and the reason I'm calling is not to leave a movie review, but to update everyone to the fact that the United Artists Egyptian Theater in Hollywood is going to be playing the Star Wars trilogy. That's right, you heard right. The Star Wars Trilogy. They're going to be doing this on March 28th. That's a Thursday. And I don't know the times yet. You'll have to call the theater for that. But the tickets are going to be $10 a head. And they will show you Star Wars. They will show you The Empire Strikes Back. They will show you The Return of the Jedi. All for the same $10. After that, they're going to be running just Return of the Jedi in a regular engagement, exclusive engagement at the Egyptian So if you missed that last summer, and if you did, don't you dare call yourself a movie fan. If you missed that last summer, you can see it now. But for those of you who are dedicated fans of the Star Wars saga, the entire saga will be presented in 70mm Dolby Stereo, 6-track, beautiful THX sound, and all that swell stuff at the United Artists Egyptian Theater in Hollywood on March 28th. Call the theater for details. Until then, this is Zaphod Beeblebrox saying, I know where my towel is. Bye.
Well, isn't that just swell? I bet Michael the Galactic Hitchhiker would be proud of you. Anyway, that's about going to do it for another week of Film Listed Fun. I want to thank you all for sticking with us to the bare end. And just a reminder, next week, that's right, this Saturday is the 3rd annual Artie Awards, which I will be hosting. We'll be on this line, of course, the one you'll want to hear it on, and many others, so be looking forward to that. Also, on April 7th is the Oscar recap for 1984. Thanks for calling.